Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bankroll Burners, the podcast for poker players who can't stop getting it in bad. I'm Mike.
And I'm Josh.
And we are here, as always, to bring you some hands, to discuss hands we've played recently, do some live reactions to them, and, you know, just try to see how we could have played them better.
And you know, I think we definitely could have.
Always could have. You know, it's so great. Josh and I really specialize in playing these low stakes games with really bad opponents and figuring out how to give them chips. You know, despite their best efforts to give us chips, we really try our best to give them our chips.
Well, you know, I think we read the sort of tip that's often circulated that's like, keep the fish happy. And we really took that. I'd say we do better at that than any supposedly, you know, wannabe winning players. Because we the fish wind up significantly richer when we play in their games, which probably makes them happy.
Exactly. So you're welcome to all those out there who, you know, benefit from us keeping the fish in the game.
Right.
So I this week I have some more hands from the our online home game that we play in sometimes. This 25-cent, 50-cent, very action-y kind of home game. It plays pretty big. I would say it plays kind of like a live 1-2, you know, in terms of the stakes level. I don't know if you would agree with that.
Yeah, and for context on action-y, Mike sent me a hand that will not make it on the podcast as it ended on the turn where he was bluffed by a 6-deuce in a 3-bet pot. So that's the kind of action that people are providing.
Correct. That's correct. I got absolutely owned by being 3-bet pre and then being check jammed on by deuce 6 suited. So, all right. So I have a hand from that game. We are going to be in this hand only $43 effective. This was pretty early on in the session, and the so a little less than 100 bigs, like 90 bigs, and this hand is going to begin with a limp from the EP, just call it an EP limp.
Okay.
Plus one limp, I suppose, is what it is.
That's fine.
And I have in the low jack, ace of hearts, queen of spades. And I go ahead and make it 250. Which I typically, you know, in these, when there's a limp in these games, instead of just, I'll always add an extra limp on. So instead of, you know, standard open would be $1.50. So instead of making it two, I like to make it 250. Just because people are so call happy in these games, and so I'm really trying to isolate the limper.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't work in this instance. We do get an additional caller in the field, in this case, the small blind.
Well, that's nice. So it sounds like the limper comes along, but we're in position.
Yes, so the limper does come along, but we are in position.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I've been doing the same. I've really been trying, especially with 3-bet sizing, I think is one where, you know, however big you think you're going, just add a little more. Mm-hmm. Just like when you're squeezing, like there's really no such thing as too big.
Exactly. And no, I actually saw a pretty interesting thread on X recently. I still can't call it that seriously. It's so ridiculous. But yeah, so I was on X browsing, and this guy was talking about how the solver actually shows that it is very profitable. If you are at 50 big blinds or less, it is extremely profitable to shove as a squeeze from the blinds, like almost with like most suited broadways, which I thought was really interesting.
You know, it's funny you say that, because in one of my recent sessions, it did end on the note of me jamming ace queen offsuit from the blinds over, you know, an open and three calls and getting snapped off by ace ace.
Ah, well.
So yeah. He's wrong. Ha ha.
But yeah, so I thought that was pretty interesting. I guess I'll also say, you know, this just really demonstrates how this online home game is not like a traditional online room with a bunch of like, you know,
well, you'd be surprised too, because I have been playing a little bit of like 5NL Zoom on Ignition, and like it is really bad.
That's fair.
I have to say, like, there is, even in like a 6 max environment that you would think is going to be reg infested, I think at that level, which is pretty much the lowest level of Zoom, it is like, it's bad. It's really funny. Like, there's a lot of limping, a lot of cold calling. The amount of times I've been min raised and then, like, it's just silly.
Okay, fair enough. Well, anyway, so three ways to a flop, we go about $8 in the middle. And it's a pretty interesting one. It's the 10 of spades, the 10 of clubs, and the 6 of spades. So we, of course, have the queen of spades for a backdoor flush draw and two overs. And it does it actually doesn't check to me. We get a lead from the limper, so the small blind checks, and the limper now leads for $2.
Okay. Seems small.
It's quite small. What do you think here?
I don't know. It's I think I'm more inclined to call against this lead because I think our hand is a little too strong to bluff. And like it's actually pretty good. Like it's basically the nut no pair. Like we shouldn't expect them to have ace king. But against such a small sizing, I am a little bit more inclined to put in a raise. But I don't know that putting in a raise makes a whole lot of sense with our hand, just because like I don't know, we don't have like it's not that we don't have that much equity. We're gonna be like folding out a lot of worse and getting calls from a lot of better hands. Mm-hmm. And I think we just have better bluff candidates, and it's a good price. We're probably pretty much getting direct odds to draw to like hit an ace or queen on the next two straights.
Sure, yeah. That's all fair. I think if this was heads up, then I do think this is a fairly straightforward call for the reasons you gave. I do wonder though, with another player in the hand, if it's a mistake to simply call here, because it really does open the door to getting pushed around by the small blind, who I don't know anything about at this point.
Right. Well, I think then it's just a matter of sort of keeping the calling range balanced. You know, if we can have some hands like 10x that we call with or overpairs that we call with, and then can sort of call a post-flop squeeze, so to speak. Sure. Because I do understand that point. But also, you know, I'm definitely not worried. Like, if the small blind calls behind us, that's not really too worrisome either. Like, I feel like all our outs are still live, basically. Like, I don't think it really changes anything if the small blind also calls behind us.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. I mean, we are letting them have some more equity, for sure. You know, it is nice to get that equity out of there. But I guess for those reasons, I did choose to raise here. I don't know. I do see what you're saying. I do see what you're saying that, like, well, maybe we don't care if the small blind calls. And then, so I guess I was concerned about, you know, maybe facing some kind of opportunistic check raise. And I did want to fill out some equity. So I did raise here, but I do see, like, hey, maybe we can just call and kind of just see what develops.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, it's also not the end of the world if, like, they both fold and, like, we just kind of got them out with air. But, like, you know, under the gun might just, like, keep bluffing off and our hand is actually, like, reasonably strong as is. You know, like, he can't really have, I mean, he can have some, like, 10x, I guess. But how often do you see someone lead for 25% pot with trips?
Rarely.
Yeah, so... So I don't know. I'm a little bit inclined to let him barrel off, but I don't mind getting the small blind out of there either.
So I raised. I made it 650. Make 3.5x. Yep. Maybe you could go a bit bigger. I don't know, but you know, with stacks, with being what they are, I thought it's probably fine to.
Yeah, I think it's multi-way too. Kind of go into like a third pot, which is reasonable. Raise.
Yeah. So the small blind does get out of the way and the limper calls.
Okay.
So, you know, we're looking at about $21 in the pot. And the turn rolls off the 8 of diamonds.
Okay.
So, of course, 9-7 does get there, which is a gutter, which a lot of people do use these sorts of weird, like, donk leads with gutters, so that was in my mind that he could have just got there. Of course, you know, he can also have some weird under pairs like 9-7s.
Well, I was gonna say I'd be more concerned about pocket eights than 9-7 if we're talking about hands of his that get there, because I agree, I think a lot of his sort of donk call range is like nines through sevens, and obviously some portion of that, I mean, all of those hands have improved in some way. Right. Whether it's through picking up a gutter or through boating up.
Yeah. So I thought this was basically a bad card for me.
I think that's fair. Did he check to you?
He did check to me. It'd be very funny if we got led on again. I think if he leads again there, we probably just fold.
Yeah.
He did not lead. He checked. I'm saying he. I don't actually know the gender of this person. But this opponent checked.
It's probably a fair assumption in this game.
Yeah, it's mostly autistic males in this particular home game. So I personally wanted to check here. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, I definitely want. I agree. I don't think this is a great card. I think most of the hands he called with are not folding here also. Like a hand like pocket nines or pocket sevens just picked up equity. No way they're folding. And I'm happy to just kind of take our still pretty clean outs as I see it and just take them to showdown.
Yeah, I mean, we could be good here. We're probably not good, I would say.
I think there are plenty of sort of spade combos too that we could be good against. So
yeah, of course we were blocking some of those a bit, but I think we are probably not good, but we are good sometimes, and of course we have equity to improve. If we hit an ace or a queen, we're probably good. So. All right, so I do check it back, and the river does come off the queen of clubs.
Nice.
Yeah, so pretty happy with that. I feel like I'm gonna have the best hand a lot, and what he does now actually is he leads out on this card.
Okay.
For 750. So about a third pot, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. So kind of a blockish sizing. I mean, technically, maybe you would say it's not a block, but it's pretty close to a blockish sizing.
I think it could be a block because I think when the effective stack is still pretty big compared to the pot, you probably can block a little bit bigger because like you just want to make sure you have enough to fold, right?
Sure.
Like, you have enough behind to bet fold. Could be a block, but anyway, it's a small bet.
Yeah. So he sort of somewhat blocks the river, and this actually left me a bit perplexed. I wasn't totally sure what I'm supposed to do with my specific holding.
Yeah, I think it is kind of a close spot between calling or jamming.
Right. I actually also think there is a small raise line, like maybe just clicking it back is something something I kind of considered as well. But
I don't know. I don't know if we need to get cute. I feel like we could maybe just rip it and see, because I think that'll look kind of strange. He'll just kind of have to put us on sort of a queen or nothing.
Versus you, if we jam here, I mean, what are we looking? I guess like my thought was like, if I jam, what am I looking to get called by specifically?
And then
like,
it's pretty much
a worse queen is like for sure gonna call,
right? Like a queen jack type hand, which is possible, but also like pocket nines, pocket and like pocket sevens might call.
But is he really blocking with those hands?
Maybe he wants to get called by like ace king.
Interesting. Yeah, that's actually fair. So maybe
they're... I don't know that those hands are blocking for sure, but it's possible. Maybe even a hand like 9-8 or 8-7 maybe is kind of in the same hand class. So maybe he has enough of those hands that we can get value from.
Okay, yeah, that's actually interesting because I sort of thought... I wasn't thinking about that in the game. In game, I was kind of like, I feel like the only thing I can get value from is a worse queen, and he doesn't have that many worse queens. But... if you think that, you know, maybe someone is, you know, I think correctly, probably taking such a size, like blocking. I think it's probably correct to block with nines here. It seems
right,
good.
Just trying it called by, maybe he thinks then you'll call with an eight, right? Because your hand kind of looks like it could be an 8x where you sort of raise and then check back maybe when you pair up, right? And which you might play an eight that way.
Yeah. Probably. So I actually, now that you say that, I think raising here is probably appropriate. Like, I think we do sometimes lose to, like, 10x, sometimes. But I also don't really expect 10x to block that much, so...
Right, that's what I would say. It's kind of a weird... Like, I wouldn't expect 10x to donk flop so small, you know, and then block river. That's like I might expect that. I've seen people take way weirder lines to get minimum value with good hands.
I also think Jack 9 and 9-7 may play this way.
Right, maybe. I still think that I don't know that they're blocking either. I mean, I guess
sometimes they will. Those hands will, like players, especially like sort of like live low stakes players, which this kind of is, will try to bet really small with like some sort of nutted hand that they think that, like, you're not very strong.
Well, I mean, I do think it's good. To be fair, I do think it's good. I mean, I think it's important to have kind of a balanced-ish block. If you're going to block, it's probably nice. It's nice to have some strong hands that you throw in there so that when you get raised, you know, because otherwise it's so exploitable where when you block, you're pretty much always planning on block folding.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, yes, I agree. I think we do lose sometimes, but, like, I don't know.
Okay.
I think we probably beat enough of his calling range to raise. Maybe a small raise does make more sense, though. I mean, maybe if we think his range is kind of, the, you know, what we're looking to get value from is mostly, like, pairs under the 10, and we think he might have a good amount of 10x, 7-9, jack-9, then maybe, like, a small raise makes more sense.
Yeah, I mean, because if we jam, it's basically a pot. It's not quite a pot size raise. It's a little.
Oh, it's actually a lot. It's like we'd be jamming like 20, like 3/4 pot, right?
Well, because if we call,
then it's 36. The pot's
30. Yeah, you're right. It's like a 3/4 pot jam.
So maybe that's fine. Maybe yeah. They're just not enough behind to do anything like a small raise.
Yeah, unless we think he's really bad, which, you know, EP limp calls. Suggests that it might be like more likely to get called by not jamming,
but if he's really bad, isn't he more likely to like call a jam with all sorts of random crap?
Yeah, it's really hard to know, so I don't know. I think
depends on what kind of bad.
Yeah, which we don't know. So I do like a jam here. You've persuaded me that that's the line. In game, I didn't consider that he might be blocking with hands like nines or sevens, so I did end up just calling.
All right.
I don't think we were getting called if we jammed. Villain tables, 9 of clubs, 6 of diamonds.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, now I'd like you to ask yourself a question. Was he value betting or bluffing the river?
I don't know. I wanted to ask you that question.
I don't know. Like, I feel like he might be value betting and just, like, wants to get called by, like, ace high.
I mean, that's super sick.
Yeah, and like, what is he folding out that's better?
I don't know.
So, yeah, that is super sick. I mean, you know, props to your opponent for playing a big lick.
Yeah, absolutely. The greatest of hands. So, so that was my first one. You convinced me a jam.
We might get called by 9-6. Yeah. It is not out of this world that we get called by 9-6 there.
I think it's pretty interesting, too, because if we jam our line, doesn't make that much sense.
Right.
So we can look it up.
Exactly. Like, that's what I like. And especially if, you know, he might just be like, oh, I've got a pair. He might just, you know, you do have a lot of, like, random ace highs and, like, unimproved hands in your range. You know, like, a hand like King Jack would make a super sick, like, bluff jam there.
Mm. So. King Jack, like... Maybe of like a red King Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
But anyway, I think that's a cool hand.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So what do you got for us?
Oh well, I've got a hand after that expertly played hand. I've got one that I really think I played quite poorly on just about every street. One of our favorites.
That's the best. It's really a shame when you play one street correctly. You know, it's better to just get them all wrong.
Well, I will say a little bit of foreshadowing that there is one street that I don't think I, you know, one street that I didn't have too many decisions on. So,
fair enough.
You know, but yes, it's not great. Okay, so this hand is going to start with a low jack limp from sort of a player.
What's the game here?
Oh, sorry. I should probably give some information. This is a 1-3 game at Encore Boston Harbor. We are playing 500 effective, you know, 500 effective, as we like to say, because when you're opening to 5x, the blind levels matter a little less, and, you know, kind of blind-wise plays a little more like a $5 blind game.
Right.
But in this case, actually, it is kind of like that because in this hand, the low jack limps, the button raises to 10. And my first mistake, I think, I just call out of the big blind with 8 of spades, 8 of hearts.
Ooh, I don't like that. I'm curious why you think it's a mistake, if it's the same reason.
Well, I think it's nice to 3-bet a lot of, like, probably 8s is more or less the cutoff. I don't really mind calling, and I think I was fairly new to this table at this point. And, it, like, especially, it's so tough sometimes, and for me, in low stakes when you kind of don't know what people's like raising ranges are. Because like I think it is kind of a punt to like 3-bet against a, like a nit here. And like calling is fine because like they will stack off a lot if you like hit a set. And obviously we are playing quite deep. So I don't hate it at a new table. As I sort of moved along, this player definitely was raising quite a lot. The lovely, aggressive older woman. Great demographic. But it's, you know, it's so I definitely think 3-betting is in order to kind of get the limper out of there, take control of the pot, and, you know, get some fold equity.
Yeah, I mean, that's all fair and good. The reason I would 3-bet here is because of the raise to 10 over a limp. That strikes me as, like, we've heard Bart Hansen refer to as a bullshit raise. Like, I just don't think it's strong. It's not a, like, you know, if the standard open in this game is, like, 15.
And well, she... And I did kind of learn that she did just raise every hand she raised to 10, kind of regardless of, you know, people don't always adjust their raise sizes to like limpers or the size of the game or anything like that. She was just raising to 10 whenever she had a raising hand.
It's true that they don't, but what's like, what is also true is even if they're not really adjusting, if they have a strong hand, like aces or kings or ace king, if they perceive ace king to be a strong hand, which is not taken for granted in these games, but aces or kings or queens, they will raise larger still,
right?
Almost always. So if there is a limp in there, because they'll try to take advantage of it. So I think that there's no way this person has an especially strong hand. They might not have a weak hand. They could have ace jack, certainly, but or even ace queen.
You know what's funny about ace king is some people will still raise ace king large because they perceive it as a weak hand and they don't want to have to see a flop.
That's true.
So yeah, fair enough. I think 3-betting makes sense here. Get the limper out, kind of play heads up against a range that's probably not super duper strong. But we just call. I was kind of like, you know, I'm gonna just see what's, you know, kind of learn a little bit more about these players before I like go 3-betting super whack.
You called to see where you were at in the game. I gotcha.
Exactly. And the limper does call behind me as expected. So, you know, piles behind about 30 bucks in the pot. And we're off to a flop, which is not terrible for pocket eights. It's king 4-3 with two spades.
Nice. And you do not have a spade.
We do have a spade. We've got eight of spades, eight of hearts.
Gosh, I thought you said eight of clubs for some reason. Okay, yeah. All right, seems nice. I assume you checked.
I check. The limper checks. The low jack checks. And the button bets 17.
17. Not 16.
Not 16. Not 15. Not 20. But 17.
17. So that's like a half pot kind of.
Basically. Sort of
size. Yeah. Okay. I assume you call here.
Yeah, right? I decide to call. I mean, I think this could just be a fold. But I was kind of thinking like, oh, you know, I have a spade. My hand is like pretty good. There's only one over card. Heads up, I think this is definitely a call, but the player behind can probably fold.
Heads up, I would probably check raise here, actually.
I don't know if I'd check raise here.
For protection. You don't think so?
I don't know.
After a button open and you just call from the big, I think you should be check raising for protection here a lot, because they can have so many misses that are just like they can have like jack 10, jack 9, queen jack, ace queen, ace 10. Like all these hands, all offsuit combos of those hands, like they can have them. So I would be interested in folding out some overcards here with a check raise.
Yeah, I think that's probably okay. I think I do think at least a lot of the live games that I've been playing, one thing I definitely noticed about live players is they do not adjust their opening range by position. Like, I don't think that most players that I play with are raising, like, a lot of those sort of offsuit combos from the button. Even if it folded to them, I think they wouldn't make that adjustment.
Interesting. I also see a lot of players raise those offsuit combos from, like, early positions, too.
True. I think it's very much, like, sort of live dependent, where I think just a lot of the folks that I wind up playing with are more on sort of the passive side, where they're going to be limping a lot of those hands. Yes, I would expect to see someone open limp jack 10 offsuit from the button.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, open limping from the button should be banned.
Yeah, it's not allowed. I'm just going to do it to you next time we play, though, just to troll you.
It's always aces.
Yeah, I don't... I, even so,
It's probably still fine.
I still would probably check raise this hand for protection in a heads up pot. Probably not multi-way though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, if we're check raising heads up, it might be right to check raise here too, because I don't think the limp caller should have a whole lot of king X.
I agree. I'm not worried about the limp caller so much as I am worried about the buttons range being a little stronger because they're betting into two people.
Sure. Well, anyway, the button bets 17. I decide to just call, which I don't really like.
I don't know. I think it's fine. Like,
do you think our hand is too strong to fold? Like, even with the player behind us?
On this board, because... on this board, I do. Because, like, there's so... Like, I think we have so many, like, outright misses on this board.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. Especially from the big blind, like, we might call some amount of, like, suited stuff.
I want to defend hands like this. I mean, maybe we can exploitatively fold if we really think button's only betting nuttish hands. But
yeah. But I don't necessarily think that. Yeah. And again, it was kind of early on in the session, so wasn't 100% sure. But anyway, I just call, and the limper calls as well.
Okay.
So there's like 80 in the pot now, and like 470 behind. And the turn rolls off the six of diamonds.
So we pick up nothing.
We pick up nothing. It does put a second flush draw on the board. What we do pick up is not an overcard.
Yep, fair. It's a good
I check
for our hand. Yep.
And the low jack now leads for 35. And the button folds.
Wow. Now I'm wishing we did check raise.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a weird spot for me, because I was kind of thinking, like, I don't know, this is such a weird lead. Like, I don't know, think it really, like, again, I don't think that the low jack has a lot of king X. I don't think that they're going to be leading a lot of their king X. Like, it seems more likely to me that they've sort of picked up equity on this card, whether it's like a hand like pocket sevens, or it's a hand like, I don't know, pocket fives that they're calling with, or like they picked up a diamond draw to go with a straight draw or something like that. Like, I don't know, it just doesn't... It seems like a very strange... I know it, like, can be a king, because, like, of course it can, but I don't know. I didn't really give this a lot of credit.
Yeah, I think... Do you think it's ever, a nuttish sort of hand, like a straight or a set?
I don't know. I feel like a straight or a set might bet bigger. A lot of live players might go bigger, because this is just under half pot, and obviously it is multi-way, but I still think kind of people might not think about that a whole lot.
Do you have any insight into what in this game is considered like a large bet?
Not really. Not at this point, I think.
Because, you know, in my like, you know, the 2-2 live game that I've been playing in lately, like, I would say $50 is like a large bet to them.
I think people kind of see like 75 to 100 in general, I guess. Because it's like, It's like the amount of chips where someone kind of like use their whole hand, like grab the stack and like aggressively put it out without counting it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it usually winds up, there are those players who just don't quite grasp the concepts and instead are like, I have a good hand, I'm going to bet big. Boom! And you're like, exactly. All right, that's like a quarter pot.
Yeah, this probably isn't a very strong hand. I guess. I kind of tend to agree with you. Although, it still might be a hand better than ours sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like pocket... It would have to be like exactly like pocket nines.
Yeah, or a king.
Could be a weak king sometimes. Yeah, maybe king X of diamonds. Or a two pairs
sort of holding, like 6-4.
Yeah, I think people like to bet... People love to bet big. That's one thing I've really noticed about like 1-3, at least where I play, is people think low 2 pair is the nuts.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the case with you as well, but like people love just shoveling money into the pot with low 2 pairs. Not that they're necessarily wrong. Like a board like this, you probably should play low 2 pair like it's the nuts.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I guess at the end of the day, the question is like I don't think we could ever fold here. We're getting a great price. Like we're getting a little better than 3-1. So I think I would just call.
Yeah, do you think there's any merit to raising here for protection with sort of two flush draws out there? Try and get called by like some of those diamond draws or like pocket sevens with a, you know, something like that. I didn't even consider this in game, but now that we talked about it on the flop, I'm like, does it make sense to do here if we think he's not that strong? Like, is that appropriately thin?
I don't know that I like it out of position.
Right, because then we probably are checking most.
Are so weird, so difficult to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like we're pretty much always checking river if we raise and get called. And we're probably check folding river.
But if it goes check, check, we win type of deal.
Like, and we might not even win if it goes check, check, because like he could definitely do play a king this way.
Yeah, so I don't really think I like a check raise.
Okay, well, I do just call. So, okay, I feel a little better about this hand. I thought, I was like, I don't know if this is a good call here when this guy like leads into two players. It's a little funky.
I think it's fine. I do kind of wonder, though, about check raising flop, like thinking back if we could have done it.
Yeah, no, quite possibly. I didn't even consider it, but because I'm a little nit, you know?
What a nit.
Well, anyway, the river rolls off a horrible card. It's the Jack of Clubs. It's not horrible. But I think he has a lot of, like, Jack X of diamonds or Jack X of spades. It doesn't matter.
I think it's a brick.
The street where I can't really do, you know, I can't say that I played poorly because I just check, as I think I am always, and he checks back, and we win.
Oh, you win?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. I thought he was going to, like, jam on you or something.
No, he just checks back and mucks. So I guess I don't know. I think, I don't really know what he had. Because I don't know that, like, the way he acted, you know, he could have just been Hollywooding and, like, tossing a draw away. But, like, he did, like, look at my hand and, like, look back at his cards and, like, think for a sec before mucking. Which makes me think that he may have had some sort of showdown value.
He maybe had a six.
Maybe a six. Maybe, I think pocket sevens might, or pocket fives might be, like, the one, like, a possible. So I don't know. I guess you've convinced me that the turn is okay, but I don't. Maybe raising the flop makes more sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to find those flop check raises for value, I think, is a really important thing to like becoming a tougher player, because like I think there's a tendency to only raise like really thick value or like strong draws as bluffs on the flop, and I think that our opponents will accidentally correctly exploit us by just overfolding when we do that. So I think it's nice to actually be able to take advantage of how strongly check raises are perceived to start check raising a little thinner for value. And then that opens up the door for us to have so many more check raise bluffs, because for every value hand you add on the flop, you get to add more than one bluff, sometimes as many as two bluffs.
Like, so let me ask you, maybe, you know, let's say that we check raise pocket eights on the flop and we get called by like just the button, who is the opener. And the turn rolls off the six of diamonds. I assume we're checking.
I think so.
And then if she bets, are we just folding?
Probably.
Like if we check raise and get
this hand.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, because like that is like if we check raise and get called, then like we do kind of narrow the bettor's range pretty significantly. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. But I also think that like. I mean, we're assuming like sort of a live player who's not going to be finding those like, you know, float and then bluff turn lines, which definitely exist. I mean, sort of like queen jack with a backdoor, for example, would probably be best played as like a call and then if check two, bet turn type of deal.
But yeah. I mean, I think there are definitely plenty of bluffs that like players can find. But I would think, yes, I'm talking specifically live. I would expect most players. I mean, in my experience, most players, once they get check raised once, if they bet again, it's like quite strong.
It's really a strong hand. Doesn't have to be like something super nutty, but
no, but I would think like a king, like even a weak king. But
exactly. So I do think that with our specific holding, we can check turn and fold to a bet. I also think that if the turn checks back, we might be able to value bet some rivers, like a jack.
Right. I mean, that's like, yeah, that seems a little ambitious to bet value at like on a jack. I mean, just because even if it is a brick, which you definitely may be right that it is, it's probably going to be difficult to get value from worse just because it's an over card.
Yeah, it's interesting. I could see arguments either way, but yeah, I mean, you do get, but you remember, especially because it's live poker, you can be really cheeky. I mean, you can block bet 20% and no one's gonna punish you for doing that. You know what I mean? So,
then you get min raised and you just throw up in your mouth.
Yeah, you just call whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. I mean, I think that all makes sense. I think, you know, maybe it maybe it wasn't as terrible as I thought. But anyway, we did win, which was just, like, shocking.
Yeah, very nice. All right. Okayly played hand.
That's all I strive for.
That's all I need. All right. Well, I've got another hand from the same home game session. And in this particular hand, we are going to be in the hijack. And we are going to be holding ace of spades, king of hearts.
And what's the effective stack in this hand?
The effective stack in this hand is exactly 100 bigs.
$100?
100 bigs, $50.
$50, all right.
Well, I'm sorry, that's not correct. I apologize, there were multiple villains in this hand. The effective stack is actually, once again, is $45.
$45 dues.
And this hand is very amusingly going to begin the same with a limp from the same villain as the last hand.
Okay. And what position are they in this time?
So I'm in the hijack, they're in the lowjack.
Okay.
And I go ahead and make it 250 once again.
Yep.
For aforementioned reasons. And the cutoff, who is an action player, cold calls. The button, who is a maniac, although I don't think I knew it at this point, calls. And the limper.
Ugh. Not in love with this situation. I mean, we of course have the best hand. You know, we have a good, very good hand, but we're going four ways out of position to most people.
Yeah, not ideal.
Stacks are getting somewhat shallow already, just over 4-1.
Correct. Yeah, not ideal.
SPR. So, you know, not in love with the calls. You know, really, that's the times. Those are the times when you're just begging for one of the blinds to wake up with something squeezable.
So that we can then like four bet. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can just rip it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm sort of laughing looking through my notes for this hand.
so what's the flop?
Yeah, so the flop is a queen of hearts, ten of diamonds, deuce of hearts.
Okay.
So we do not flop a pair. We do, of course, have the backdoor second nut flush draw and a Broadway gut shot.
Yep.
And that same player from the last hand once again leads for $3.
Wow.
Yeah. So
this is like the same hands.
I know. I always thought it was quite funny. And I am, well, what do you think? What do we do?
Well, I mean, I think it is kind of a similar situation to the last hand where, like, we have a very strong hand, like, almost too strong to bluff, and like maybe we can just call, but with the players behind us it definitely benefits from a raise. And also I feel like the thing is, like, I feel like we can kind of do a combo raise is the interesting thing, because I feel like if we raise here we're gonna fold out the people behind us with pretty much, if they have pretty much anything worse than a queen.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna get folds from like 10x and like pocket pairs and like deuce x for sure, right? And maybe even some like medium flush draws, which we're happy to fold out. And then the low jack might just like call us with all sorts of garbage, because we now recognize that they are the type of player to play 9-6 offsuit in this manner.
Yeah, and we're gonna fold out some better. It's not exactly a combo bet because we're not gonna get called by worse.
Sure we are. Sure we are.
I guess we'll get called by hearts. We'll get called by hearts.
Yeah, 8-9 of hearts, for like. Sure.
Well, 8-9 of hearts is quite a bit better.
Ace jack offsuit, like.
Sure. Okay, fair enough.
So I probably like raising here a little bit. I mean, and also we're like, in the last stand, I think we were in position to both players, right? Which is why I was kind of more okay calling too, because at least we still have position. But here we're out of position to two players, and we really don't want to call and have both people call behind us.
That's very true, and what I was thinking in game, and so I did raise it up once again to $10.50.
Boy, this guy must be sick of you.
He's tilting, I'm sure. Yeah, not someone I'd ever played with before. This guy really just didn't know anything about him besides that he liked to limp call and dunk.
Yep.
So the cutoff folds, the maniac on the button cold calls my raise. And the lowjack folds.
The lowjack folds?
Correct. So we are now heads up with...
Oh, well, that backfires.
I know. So we're now heads up with the button. And actually, our effective stack with the button is different, because we were covering the lowjack So the button covers us. So we are now at $56 behind.
And like 30 in the pot.
Like 35 in the pot. Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 I forgot about the extra three. All right.
Yeah. So we have a little less than two SPR.
Well, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah. I don't love it. I feel like, and now, again, I didn't know he was a maniac. And now knowing what, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he literally has pocket threes, like, knowing how this player plays now. But at the time...
Yeah, I mean, if we don't know them at that point, like, obviously this is something where getting to a showdown in this hand would definitely give us some nice information.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the line is pretty nutted, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Cold calling a raise in a multi-way pot is generally fairly nutted. Or sometimes it's top pair. That's, like, the worst hand it is.
Yeah. It's either, like, top pair, the nut flush draw, or it's, like... But there aren't that many nutted hands you can have, too. It's pretty much queen 10 or pocket deuces.
He can have 10s.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, maybe. You open from, like, late position. He shouldn't. Players especially if this player is on the grass. I think most online players, and probably in this game, too, are... three betting. They're squeezing 10s from the button.
Fair enough. Yeah, so I think queen 10 probably in pocket.
But some 10s. Yeah, sure. I'll happily admit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't feel like I'm in great shape here.
I agree.
Yeah, so the turn rolls off a brick. It's the four of spades.
It's a brick.
And it goes, well, so... I check, and
I, he checks. I think you should.
Yeah. So.
And he checks back?
Yes.
Nice. I think that's great. I mean, because we can also win, like, sometimes. Like, if he's got, like, the nut flush draw, we're probably ahead.
Sure. Well, so the river is also a brick, which is the six of diamonds.
Okay.
We check, which I think we should probably.
I think so.
Yeah. And villain now bets half pot.
Ugh. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I think we probably fold. Because I think, like, a lot of Queen X could probably play this way, is the thing. Like, I just think, like, there's quite a lot of Queen X in villain's range that might, you know, check back turn, especially if it's sort of like a Queen Jack type hand, where they're like, well, you know, I don't even know if my kicker's good, so I'm going to just check back and, like, evaluate the river, and then once you check, kind of see as a green light to go for value. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a whole lot of Queen X here.
You don't think that, like, this could be... I mean, I guess, like, my thought and was, like, that there's a lot of bricked draws that this could be, like, King Jack, Jack 9, missed hearts. I mean, I do have a heart, which is...
We had, like, having the King of Hearts is pretty tough for, yeah, like, bluff catching, I guess. Because, like, right, it's certainly fair there are some brick draws, but especially if we don't know that he's a maniac, like, you know, he should not be cold calling the flop with, like, Jack 9 that is not Jack 9 of hearts.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm probably just throwing this one away.
Okay, I guess, like, I don't know. For me, I thought it was just sort of fishy. I did end up folding. I just was kind of curious if that was just, like, too nitty for me to fold here, like, have the way I played it, but I guess it sounds like you would fold them.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's just, like, exploity, because, like, definitely, like, live, this is, like, a snap fold, you know? Like, this...
Sure.
Especially, live, this is just always a queen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think probably knowing this player now, like, literally could have been anything. Like...
Oh, yeah, and if they're a maniac, I mean, if they're a maniac, you could, like, rip it.
On the river
and just be like, because, like, they might be taking this line with, like, a four,
right?
And, like, that hero calling against a maniac here is actually, like, almost worse, because they might just have, like, be turning, like, the most, like, ace six of hearts into a bluff.
Sure. And so it's better to, like, rip it on them so they just fold. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Maybe that's, like, too lost unless, in the sauce, but...
Unless they're a sticky maniac. I've played against those.
Even sticky maniacs, they're really going to stack off with their... Like, maybe.
I mean, this guy, I witnessed him jam it in for 150 bigs pre over an open and a call, and then everyone folded, and he showed 10-4 suited, so...
But, like... even like that kind of maniac, I in my experience, they're more likely to be sort of aggressively maniacal and like still might not be like just calling.
Yeah, yeah, stuff, yeah.
You know?
Okay, so I guess I feel okay about this one. I don't know. I felt Little Hand was so weird, like just the very multi-way nature and just, you know.
I don't mind ripping it. Like, I don't know. I think jamming is interesting. I think
really?
Because like we do block all the strong queens. It's like true. Like we kind of do block some strong hands, and it's like, but we do block some missed draws too. But especially if we know he's a maniac, I probably would jam here.
Yeah, maybe if we know he's a maniac. I wonder like how credible the jam is, because like what hands are we playing this way for value? Like that,
right?
I don't know. That like check the turn
and the river. Yeah, we'd kind of have to. We'd have to play a little funky against him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's I don't know if about jamming here. It's probably correct to just give up. I just kind of wondered if this was like, if maybe don't have the King of Hearts. Do you think it's a call?
Maybe we could probably find some calls without the King of Hearts.
With no hearts, I mean, with no.
Yeah.
Hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just curious. All right. So let's take us home here.
Oh, does he not show? He didn't show.
Oh, he didn't table it.
Oh, damn. I was.
I'm telling you, he probably had nothing. Like, just,
like I was ready for you to say, and he shows, you know, like 8-5 offsuit.
No, no. I'm sure he probably did have 8-5 offsuit.
Okay. Well, and I really have no idea what to do on that river then, honestly. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's sort of weird versus.
I'd probably default to folding, but maybe just man up and stick it. I don't know. I'm just worried. Like, I guess I'm just worried that he's bluffing a lot with hands that have us beat.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I hadn't really thought about that in the moment, that like, oh, I could lose to some bluffs here. But you're right. We probably do lose to some bluffs. So.
Which is like pretty tough spot to be in.
Yeah, yeah. So. Okay.
Right. Okay. Well, this hand is pretty whack. So we're playing 1-3. We're about 350 effective. This is going to be a limped pot.
Woo!
Limped pot alert. And I'll give... I think my hand is on the border, and I probably could have raised it up. But I am in the big blind with King 9 of spades. And the reason that I chose to not raise is because there were 6 limps to me.
I wouldn't raise this hand.
Yeah. Like, I think if there's a couple limps, I probably am happy to raise and, like, go to a big size. But this was a table where, at one point, I raised over a limp in a straddled pot to, like, 25 and got 7 callers. So I was like, you know... So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to take this hand out of position 7 ways into, like, a 1-to-1 SPR.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. It's one of those spots, though, where if you were a bit shallower, like maybe 50 or 60 bigs, and you had like King 10, King Jack, maybe you just jam.
But like, there's no way. You think I just jam like $200 over 5 limps?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. People don't like to call those spots.
Well, anyway, so I decide to check. I mean, I do think it's pretty close. I think King 10 of spades I'm probably raising, but like also, you know, people do... King 9 is just... such an awkward hand. Like, it doesn't really interact that well with, like, board. You know, it doesn't have... like, its straight draws are weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's I might check King 10, too, to be honest with you, versus yeah. 6 limps. So.
I have been trying to do a little, you know, a little more checking out of the big blind with, like, these sort of weird... It depends on the table, too, because there are some tables where you know that if there are 6 limps and you make it, like, 40, that everyone will fold.
Yeah,
or you'll get 1 caller, you know? But this is definitely the table... where you know the exact table, and any of our listeners who play live poker will know that the sort of table where if you raise out of the big blind over 6 limps and one person calls, everyone behind them is calling as well.
Absolutely, yeah. All day. And you don't want to be raising hands like King 9 suited in this spot. So you check, and we're going
like 7 ways to a flop, so there's basically $20 in the pot.
Is the small blind in the hand?
Yes, the small blind is in the hand.
Okay.
And actually, the small blind is going to be the main villain of the hand.
Ah,
which
right.
is pretty nice. And the flop is going to come out pretty nice looking for us. It's Ace of Spades, Jack of Hearts, 10 of Spades.
So we flop a gutter and the nut flush draw.
And the nut flush draw. Correct. And the small blind is going to start things off by leading for 15.
Okay, well, that's pretty nutted.
Yeah. I think so.
I think that leads from the small blind, very multi-way limp pots are pretty nutted. It is interesting, though, given that, he shouldn't, no one should really be connecting with this board, right?
No, but, like, people can absolutely have king-queen, jack-10, ace-10, maybe ace-jack.
Maybe, definitely. Oh, definitely.
So, like, people can definitely connect to this board. So, it's, what do you think here? Do you think we should just start piling money in, or do you think we can call? What do you think makes more sense?
Well, it's sort of interesting. Like, if we go super multi-way to the turn, our straight outs probably become chop outs. Versus if we are able to get a heads up, then it makes a lot more of our outs live. I don't know if you think that's a fair consideration.
Although, if we go super multi-way to the turn and we, like, wind up chopping, you know, and it comes a queen and we chop with, like, one person, then we've probably, you know, we've also made, like, a lot from all the other players who called. You know, because we're, like, chopping up a decent amount of other people's money.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I certainly don't think you're going to get the small blind to fold if you raise, just given how, like, strong this line is.
Right.
It's just a question, like, our hand probably doesn't hate going multi-way, like, because we are not, like, we don't have a pair draw, you know, like, we're never going to think we're good if we make a pair. So it's just like, well, if we get a bunch more players in the pot and we make the nuts, like, that's probably fine.
And
so,
that's what I thought, is like, if I have a hand like queen eight of spades, right, I probably am more inclined to raise that, like, I want to get that heads up. But, like, this hand, if we got, like, four callers behind us and we hit a spade, we have the nuts.
Right. It's interesting, though, because it's going to be harder to get paid in the multi-way pot when we have a flush draw.
True.
Although, it might be hard anyway, because, like, if villain has, like, ace-jack and we raise and it goes heads up and then a spade comes, it's like, what else do we have besides the spade? You know.
So right. Or, like, king-queen, which already has them beat.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think calling is interesting. I think both plays have merit. I think calling is a little cheekier, so I kind of like it.
Well, I call. All
right.
I thought it was, I just kind of thought, you know, my hand, like, actually, I, like, this is kind of a hand where it's okay if people call behind me. It actually, like, gives me better odds. Like, you know, and like we have the nut draw. Like, it's not like we have a 7-8 of spades where if a spade comes, we're like, well, are we good? Like, 7-8 of spades is actually such a horrible hand to have here because, like, both our spade and gutter are, like, questionable.
Yeah.
And I do also think, what do you think?
We are going to be quite shallow. If we call and multiple people call behind, like, the SPR is going to be really low. That is one consideration.
We might be able to raise turns, too.
It would be a jam, probably.
Yeah, depending on how many people call.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you call. What happens?
Yeah. So we call, and only the player immediately behind us calls. So UTG calls.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So there's only, so we're actually not that shallow. There's basically 65 in the pot at this point, and there's 335 behind still.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, five SPR.
The turn now rolls off the eight of clubs.
Okay. So the board is.
The board is ace, jack, 10, 8. With two spades, we've got king, nine of spades. The ace of spades is out there, so we now have the nut flush draw. We also have improved to an open ender. So now a seven would give us a straight as well as the queen.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
And the small blind bets 15.
Sorry, what?
The small blind bets 15 again.
I mean, you have to raise.
I think so. I mean, the thing is, like, he can still be doing this with, like, an ace or two pair. I think. Because, like, those hands, like, I think a lot of players, and, you know, maybe rightly so, what kind of, I mean, especially with an ace, like, a hand like ace five might think, like, wow, my hand is actually not that strong, but it's still top pair and I want to get value. Or even with a hand like jack 10, this might be kind of like a see where I'm at that.
Sure.
But I still think I should raise, because I think it can also be a lot of, like, crap.
No, I mean, I think it's an ace a lot. I think it is mostly an ace, and I also think you can get a lot of aces to fold by raising. So, I like a raise. I like a large raise.
Even with the player behind us.
You are the player behind us. I mean, because this card shouldn't really hit them necessarily. Like, they probably just have either a worse spade draw. Like, what do you think? I mean, that's what I think they have. Like, either a worse spade draw or maybe an ace themselves.
Yeah, I mean, the player behind us, I guess, should be folding a lot.
You would think. Yeah. So I would probably make it like 100, probably. Probably 100.
Well, I think I wind up raising to 60. So I make a half pot sized raise, cause kind of trying to go a little smaller just based on multiway and like having a player behind us.
Yeah, I think the issue is like he might continue. He is much more likely to continue for that price.
Right.
And like I think he will continue with a lot more hands for that price. And I like if we had thick value here, I think like we could still get value at 100. I think 100 is the size we want to take both with thick value and with bluffs, I guess. Like, I think there's not really much reason to go super small here, especially because, like, we're making an exploitative play where we can tell he's uncomfortable with his hand, so we want to maximize that discomfort.
Right. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
We go 60 because, you know, I'm kind of thinking multi-way, don't want to make it too big, but I think a big raise does make more sense. I think we can definitely kind of raise large in general here and just try and, you know, put max pressure on whatever one pair or weak two pair holdings he may have.
Yeah, also obviously like if you make it 100 and like the guy behind you jams or something, you can obviously you probably have so much equity you can't fold, which sucks, but
we might still be able to fold.
Yeah,
because like our pair is definitely never live, our queen is like maybe just a chop.
Yeah,
it's probably, well, close.
He probably isn't doing it with king x,
well, but king queen, I mean.
Oh, like specifically king queen. Yeah, fair. So, yeah, okay. So you make it 60.
So the UTG player folds and then the small blind calls. And what's your plan for brick rivers here as we move towards the river?
Well, I mean, look, he never has a strong hand right now. So...
Well, it depends on how you define strong.
I mean, he never has a hand that he's snapping us off with.
Right.
So.
Block all the draws.
Right. No, I mean, it's like, this is like such a crappy hand to triple barrel, to shove river with, because like, I mean, it's certainly unbalanced to shove river with this hand. Like, if we're shoving this hand, we're shoving like everything, but that's maybe fine just because of how weak he is. Like, I don't know. I do like to attack when players show that they're very weak. It's good to attack it.
Maybe if we raise bigger on the turn, then we should check back on the river, because like I kind of see the merit to like shoving river on a brick given a small turn raise, because we kind of like maybe keep more hands in. But if we make it like 100 on the turn and he calls, I feel like that does kind of strengthen his range a fair amount.
Yeah, but
and like I do think he can have like two pair here. Like, you know, he can definitely have a hand like Jack 10 here that is probably going to call most of the time.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's like, what are we really representing?
Yeah, it's so, like King Queen. Like, we're representing King Queen.
Yeah.
Because like we do have a king. So. Well, anyway, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. The river does brick out. It comes the six of diamonds.
Okay.
And he checks. So?
Yeah, I mean...
We got about pot and a half behind. This did run through my head. You know, it's basically, yep, I've got a king. I've got a nine. Like, I do block... I have some straight blockers, but we kind of also block no value. I mean, other than the straight, like, we don't block any of, like, most of his calling range. Probably all his calling range, because I agree with you, he's not betting so small on the turn with, like, a straight.
Yeah, yeah.
No, right? I think he has... And, like, there aren't really any credible sets he can have. You know, so it's like, we're not really blocking any of his... The issue is we're not blocking any of his calling range.
Right, yes. I mean, if you just want to be balanced and check this back... I think that's fine. Like, I don't think that's bad. I mean, you're going to lose, obviously, to ace or something. But I do think that it's probably okay to just shove all a range here.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, like, with this particular hand, we're also, like, good once in a while. Like, if he's got, like, queen seven of spades, we win, right? Like, there are... this. He might just have a worse spade hand. Obviously, like, a lot of those beat us, and so maybe that means we should rip. But, like, he could just have a worse spade draw. I don't know. I really was not sure about this. I've been in spots
Where a player would play, like, a worse spade draw exactly like this, so it's certainly possible. But, of course, you know...
I mean, a lot of those are paired up, because, like, the ace and the ten are spades. Like, if we check back and lose, like, 7-8 of spades, I'll be like, blech.
Yeah. I don't know.
I see your point. I think jamming is interesting. I just think we got called a lot by, like, an ace.
I don't think an ace calls, because, like, he doesn't think his own hand is strong. Like, that's the thing. Like, he perceives his own hand as weak, as evidenced by this small bet.
Right.
So I just think that he won't call. Like, I don't know. This is pure exploitative poker, which it's not my specialty, but to me, that's just, usually when players bet, like, make a small bet and you put a lot of pressure on them, you're able to get them to fold eventually.
Right. It's just like, it was so interesting. I really went back and forth on this one, because I was like, oh, it's so awkward too, because, like, he bet small on the turn, but then he called the raise. So, like, if he calls the turn raise, like, that to me means most players are going to call the river too. Like, I don't know. It's so weird, right? It was a very weird spot for me.
Yeah. I've seen both players who will call one time or whatever, and then they'll give up. But okay, so you checked, it sounds like?
I check back, and to my dismay, villain shows Jack 3 of spades.
Oh my god. Joshua.
Which I was just totally, like, I don't know. I mean, I still am not, I don't think that it's, I don't think that it can be bad to give up, to give this hand up.
But I agree.
It's probably good, it's probably fine to jam also. But, like, I don't think it can possibly be wrong to check back this, like, hand that has terrible, terrible properties for like, jamming river.
No, it's fine. It is. It's just, it's a question of, like, you know, how exploitative. It's like, is it, here's a really interesting question, like, if you always jam the spot, is it profitable in the long run? And I would argue yes.
Right.
I would think it is more profitable than being balanced in the spot is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... because, like, if we're just jam... like, what are we jamming for value also? Like, I mean, are we just jamming... like, are we jamming an ace?
We don't need to be jamming for value, though. Like, this right. is not... Yeah, like, right. we don't. I mean, personally, I would, like I said, like, I would probably make 100 on the turn, and I think I would still jam, even.
Well, and it's probably, I mean, to be fair, you know, if we raised an extra $40 on the turn, then the pot would be 265, and we'd have a little less than pot behind.
Right, which is better that way. Right. Yeah, I mean, and then we can jam value as well. So, which is better for us if we can also jam value. But,
No, I think it's reasonable. I think going full exploit could be the best.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, if you were being, like, I don't know what the pure GTO way to play this hand is.
Like, I mean, it's probably a 7-way limped pot, right?
So. Yeah, so there is no such thing. So, yeah. But anyway, it's an interesting one. I'm glad you brought on the hand. It's an interesting one.
Yeah, I was, like, totally just baffled.
I mean, it's funny, like, players have picked up on the fact that I do things like this, and, like, I have had people try to exploit me by, like, savvier players will become trappy against me.
Like, they'll bet super small with, like they'll, like, donk bet same bet with, like, strong hands.
No one's ever done a donk bet same bet with a strong hand.
I'm gonna donk bet same bet you next time we fly.
All right, well, that's fair, but...
I'm gonna donk, you're gonna raise me, I'm gonna call, and I'm gonna donk the same amount on the turn.
I don't know that I would just, like, insta raise your donks, though, because I assume that you're doing them for, like, an actual reason versus
nope.
like with live
it's gonna be
and,
seven
like,
deuce
it's pretty interesting. Like, I have had people, like, try to bet small to, like, induce me to just, like, shove on them, and it doesn't usually, like, I have been able to sniff it out.
Yeah, but that's pretty sick that, like, people do that. Yeah, you know, people don't. I think people don't give live players enough credit.
I agree. You and I always have this conversation. Like, people think live players are worse than they are.
Yeah, like, oh, they're so. It's like, look, even bad live, like, most bad live players are, like, 50-year-old guys who have been playing poker longer than we have been alive.
Yeah.
Like, even if they don't know the theory, they have been playing long enough to, like, be able to adapt and, like, intuitively do things that, like, are close to right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is cool.
Before we wrap it up here, when we next have a podcast, Game of Gold will have finished. Who have you got for the winner?
You know, I saw an interesting, I'm gonna go with this, a good take I saw on Twitter. I'm gonna go with Josh Arya, because a great point that somebody made, you know, he's been undertaking a weight loss journey on Twitter, and someone said, what better, you know, motivation to cause you, to put you on a weight loss journey than if you're uncomfortable with your appearance as sort of the winner of a TV game show?
Interesting.
And I also just think he's kind of like a sick player, so.
Oh, he's very good. Yeah, absolutely. I would like Maria Ho to win. I mean, she's such a baller. I'm always been a big fan of her, so.
But yeah. I think my realistic choice is probably Fedor.
I mean, he's clearly like the strongest player who is still in, so.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think I also, yeah, I was shocked when they were doing the draft for round two. I was shocked how late Josh went. He was like the second to last pick.
Yeah.
I was like, what a steal. Like, that team is clearly the best team.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they lost round one, but still.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's poker, right?
Yeah.
We are the best players. We're the best players that I know, and we both keep getting crushed.
Exactly. Like, we're just, you know, unlucky all day.
Well, leave us a comment with who you think is going to win Game of Gold.
Yeah, don't comment anything about our podcast. You know, we know it's not interesting.
Clearly our podcast is not it. So why don't you comment about a better YouTube show? And also, but, you know, while we're talking about our show, please do like and subscribe.
Please do. We appreciate it.
And then we can talk more about Game of Gold if you want.
Yeah, we just turns into a Game of Gold commentary. All right. Bye, everybody.
Have a good one.